The Adventures of Harry Nile.
When the winter sun goes down on the Pacific Ocean, it leaves the water gravestone gray. And if there's a wind, and there's always a wind, it tells the few diehard bathers to get inside, to go buy a hot dog and shake the sand out of their beach robes and head back for town. And that leaves the beach to the lonely. The ones who don't go down there to swim. The ones who go down there to solve a problem. And if the big roller coaster in the funhouse up on Long Beach Pier don't fix everything up, why, there's still the waves. The restless, endless waves of the iron gray water out beyond.
Who asked you to be a hero?
Come on. Come on, lady. Don't fight me until we get out of the water.
My own wife? I can do what I want.
Come on. Get another 10 feet or so.
This isn't going to do you any good. I'm going to go right back in.
There. Come on. There, we made it. Come on.
Go.
Come on. Up on the dry sand.
You haven't got any right to do this. You know.
What do I know? I know you really didn't want to drown yourself out there.
You're nuts.
Or you wouldn't have waited out on the breakers with your clothes on, knowing there was someone watching. And you would have waited until dark.
Then let's go with me now.
Yeah, sure, okay. Are you cold?
Yes, I am.
What's your name?
None of your business.
My name's Harry Nile. I'm a private detective.
Private detective?
Yeah, that's right.
Who are you working?
Nobody.
Don't give me that. You're watching me.
Try to get paid for watching girls? Some things I do for free.
Doris didn't hire you?
No. Do I know a Doris?
You're not lying. You're not working for Doris.
No? Why? Who's Doris?
Never mind.
Hey, I don't know about you. I'm freezing. Hey, and so are you. Come on, you're shaking.
What's it to you?
Come on, let's hike up to the pier and get a cup of coffee.
No, let go of me. Came down here to do something, and I'm going to do it.
You still
going
to bump yourself off?
Yes, and you're not going to stop me.
Okay. If you feel that way about it, go ahead.
You think I'm kidding?
Go ahead. I'm going to head up and get a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah, sure. You'll come right back out into the water and drag me out again.
Oh, no. One rescue per day is all I'm good for, lady. Like you said, it's your life.
Well, I'm going to do it.
Well, I guess you've got your reasons.
I said it's none of your business.
Okay, so go ahead. Who's stopping you? Oh, one thing, so I can tell the coroner what's your name. Hey, they'll find it out when they find your body, so why not save them the trouble of checking?
Gloria Crocker.
Gloria Crocker. I'll remember that. Brown hair, brown eyes.
Blonde hair. It looks brown because it's wet.
Oh, okay. Brown eyes, height maybe, what, 5'4", weight, say 118. Address?
What?
Address. Where did the deceased live? They'll want to know that, too.
Englewood.
And age?
31.
31. Yeah, well, that about does it. So long, Gloria Crocker.
Wait!
Huh?
Wait! You really just walk away?
I am walking away, Miss Crocker. I'm going to catch pneumonia out here. If you want to die, I guess that's your affair, but I want to live.
Oh, so do I, Mr. Nile. So do I.
All at once she was clinging to me, and her fists were knotted into my shoulder blades, and her head was against my chest. And after a long while, we started walking up the beach. And that's how I got to meet Gloria, and how I got mixed up in a case I'd just as soon I'd left alone. But you know me, a sucker for a pretty face and a sob story. Yeah, there are too few of the former and too many of the latter in L.A. in 1940, but if your name is Harry Nile, and you take on just about anything, even a little matter I've come to remember as the case of the dead ringer.
Phil Harper is starring as the hard-luck private eye of the 1940s in another Harry Nile detective mystery. And now, the adventures of Harry Nile.
Sheer coincidence had brought me down to Long Beach on that windy winter afternoon. When it's summer and the crowds come, I stay away. But when the famous California skies turn gray, I like to take the Pacific Electric out to the beach, because it reminds me of my town, Chicago, along the lakefront with a storm coming in. So I hide my shoes and socks and I roll up my pants and I walk along the beach and I get the smells of L.A. out of my head. That's how I happen to be there for the little show put on by Gloria Crocker, and how I wind up, 2 hours later, in her apartment in Inglewood. She showered off the sand and salt and tried to salvage my trousers and jacket. Now I'm wrapped up in a big blanket, waiting for my duds to dry, while Gloria fills me in on what made her do it.
Have you ever decided to give up? Just give up?
Thought about it?
Well, I gave up.
Nah.
I did. I fully intended to commit suicide out there.
No, Gloria, you didn't. Or you would have waited until there was no one else on the beach. Or you would have waited until dark.
I didn't see you. Believe me.
Well, then why didn't you go on back? You had the chance.
Because you said you were a private detective, and I began to think maybe you could help me.
And maybe I can. Who's Doris?
My sister.
And you said you thought Doris might have hired me. Why?
Because she hates me.
Why does she hate you?
She hates me enough that she's trying to kill me.
You didn't answer my question.
Why does she hate me? Because of what I did to her.
What did you do to her?
It was an accident. It happened accidentally, but she never forgave me for it.
What did you do to her?
We shared this apartment. It was my turn to get up and start the coffee. Doris was asleep in bed. Her coffee cup was on the bedside stand, so I was bringing in a hot pot of coffee to pour in her cup, and I tripped on the rug.
Oh, boy.
She was turned on her side. The whole pot of scalding hot coffee hit her on the side of her face.
And she was scarred up.
She was horribly disfigured.
Well, if it happened like you say, it wasn't intentional, was it?
Intentional? Mr. Niles, if I could have traded faces with Doris, if I could have worn the scars instead, believe me, I would.
How long ago did it happen?
It's been 2 years.
And where's Doris now?
She moved out as soon as she got out of the hospital. She works down at the pier.
Where, Long Beach? The amusement zone?
Yes, that's where I've been this afternoon. Trying to see her, to talk with her.
What'd she say to you?
She wasn't there.
Where was she?
They didn't know. They said she'd be back tomorrow. It suddenly I felt like giving the whole thing up. Mr. Nile, Doris and I were very close. Now, to know she hates me enough to want me dead.
Well, what about that? Why do you think she wants you dead?
Oh, I know she does. And I know how she wants to do it. She's made friends with a terrible person who works in a freak show down there, Bobby Ox. He'd do anything she'd tell him to. He's not quite all there.
Bobby Ox?
Yes.
O-C-H-S?
Yes.
What kind of freak show does he work in?
Well, she's the cashier. Bobby's the ape man.
Ape man?
It's about halfway down beside the House of Mirrors.
Okay. Tomorrow I'll have a talk with Bobby Ox and your sister. Oh, by the way, you got a photo of her?
Well, you won't need a photo, Mr. Nile. Doris and I are identical twins. Only now, the whole right side of Doris's face is nothing but a hideous red scar.
Well, I could hardly wait to meet the ape man, but I managed to restrain myself until 10 o'clock the next morning when the fun zone opened up. And I strolled down past the Dodge'em cars and the Big Zipper, the Tunnel of Love and the House of Mirrors until I came to the freaks. There was Jojo, the dog-faced boy, Anna, the bearded lady, the living skeleton, and the amazing lady with no body. And right at the head of the line was a shabby sign proclaiming the seventh wonder of the world, the remarkable missing link, the ape man. Well, there was no one in the cashier's cage. Hey, anybody here? You open for business?
We're open for business. How many?
Where's the cashier? Where's Doris?
You a friend of Doris?
Yeah, you could say that.
Well, I don't know where she is. She's late. You want to see the ape man?
Yeah, sure, but I'm also interested in Doris. When does she usually come in?
Like I say, she's due here right now. Oh, here she is.
Sorry I'm late, Esther.
Forget it. You got a visitor.
Hi, Doris.
Who are you?
My name's Harry Nile. I'm a friend of Gloria's.
So?
Well, I thought maybe we could talk.
I don't talk.
He says he's a friend of yours, Doris, but if you want, I should get rid of him. Just say the word.
Get lost, mister.
You heard the lady.
How much to see the ape man?
Like the sign says, 15 cents.
Okay. Here you go, Doris.
And when you come out, keep on walking.
Yeah, thanks. In this way?
Right. And don't try feeding him nothing.
Nestor stood biting on his cigar, pointing into the dark passageway. Took another quick glance at Doris. She wore her hair long and tried to comb it down over the right side of her face, but you could still make out the ugly crimson welt that turned her cheek and forehead into something raw and animal-like. I was glad to step into the blackness beyond the entrance. Inside, it was hot, and there was the smell of hay mixed with sweat. A couple of loose spotlights were aimed at a cage. There was straw on the floor, part of a rotting melon. Curled up on his side was the ape man, covered with dark hair. His eyes glistened in the blue light, and I could see him watching me. I edged over close to the bars of the cage. Bobby Ox. Hey, Bobby, I'm a friend of Doris. I need to talk to you. Okay, listen. I know you have to put on an act for the customers, but you can talk to me until someone else comes in. I know who you are, Bobby. He lay perfectly still, watching me. The makeup was so real, I had to keep telling myself it was all a scam, that this was a normal human being with ape hair and a rubber nose like a gorilla. But the illusion was hard to ignore. And then he moved. Exactly like a gorilla. Suddenly, he sprang on the short, studded legs and he hurled himself at me against the bars of the cage. Hey, come on. That's very good, Bobby. Come on, no lie. You scared me. Hey, you really did. Hey, come on. Now, listen to me a minute. Come on, listen. You see this? It's a $5 bill, Bobby. And it's yours if you'll talk to me. You know, people talk, not ape talk.
Can't talk here.
All right. Where and when?
Tonight. In back?
In back where?
Back of my cage.
It was all I was going to get out of him. He snatched the fiber through the iron bars of the cage with hands that looked more ape-like than human, lumbered back to his spot on the floor. He lay down again and watched me. I headed for the exit, not looking forward to tonight. Back out in front of the eight-man show, I looked around and I didn't see Nestor, but I did see Doris in the cashier's booth, sitting so the unscarred left side of her face was turned to the front, leaving her right side in shadow. I strolled over.
Get lost.
You know how I met your sister, Doris? I fished her out of the water down on the beach. She tried to kill herself over you, over what she did.
Should've let her do it.
Save you the trouble, right?
We don't have anything to talk about. Get lost.
Yes, we have. Look, Gloria told me about the accident. She's still beside herself after 2 years.
Well, isn't that just too bad? And how do you think it feels to go through life wearing this? See? I'll hold my hair back so you can take a good long look. Oh, don't turn away. Look at my face. Gloria and I used to be twins, identical twins. I used to be as pretty as she is. But she took care of that. And now I'm going to take care of her. You look kind of sick, mister. Better head for the railing. We're on a pier, remember? The ocean is 45 feet below.
Harry Nile will return in a minute. Now, back to the adventures of Harry Nile.
My danger signals always come up when I don't know enough about a client. Since I had all the rest of the day before meeting Bobby the Ape Man down at the pier, I decided to spend it getting to know more about Gloria. Besides, now I'd established that she really was in danger from her pitifully scarred twin sister and the weird creature from the freak show. And I figured Gloria might be better off out of town until I could make a case against Bobby, if I could make a case. So I got back to Gloria's apartment in Englewood.
Looking for Miss Crocker?
Yeah. I guess she's not home.
Never is during the day. She works. Guess you don't know her too well.
Oh, I don't know her hardly at all. You must, though.
Sure. Live right next door. Nice young woman.
Well, maybe you could tell me where she works.
Well, I could, but...
Look, I'm a private investigator. She hired me last night to give her protection.
Protection?
So I really need to know where she is.
She works in a Rexall drugstore downtown.
Which one?
Got me.
I changed a buck into nickels and found a payphone. After 5 tries, I finally got lucky.
Gloria Crocker? Yes? she works here.
Could I speak to her?
Well, she's tied up with a customer right at the moment. Can I give her a message?
Yeah. Tell her Harry called.
Harry? All right, I'll tell her.
If I couldn't play bodyguard for Gloria, at least I could keep an eye on her sister and the ape man, so I headed back to the beach once more and took up a post near the freak shows. The season was really over, and business along the Fun Zone Pier was spotty. Cold, wet wind rattled the signs above the row of sideshows, and the roller coaster roared half empty over its creaking tracks. I waited until I saw Doris come out, bar and lock the door, wrap a scarf over her face, and bundle up for home. Then I circled around behind the freak show to wait for Bobby Ox. The back door to the eight-man show was latched from inside. I waited 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I figured it took Ox that long to get out of his eight-man makeup. But when almost half an hour had gone by and it was almost dark, I decided to get inside.
One way or another.
It was pitch black inside. The pier shuddered against the pounding waves below. Hey, Bobby.
Bobby! Hey, Bobby, you in here?
I lit a match. I was standing right in the back of the ape man's cage, but it was empty. There was no place he could have been hiding. And then, as I started to walk carefully a few feet to the right, behind the cage,
suddenly I felt the trap door go out from under me and I was falling! Falling down among the creosote-covered pilings beneath the pier, and I hit the dark, foaming water, and I went way, way down. As I fought my way to the surface, it was all suddenly clear. Bobby had laid a trap for me. He knew I'd break in looking for him. He left the trap door unlatched. And meanwhile, he could be on his way to Englewood to kill Gloria. Dark to see. The barnacles and coral tore at my hands as I tried to hang onto the pilings as each huge breaker rolled in. But now something was grabbing at my foot. I was entangled in something under the water. What was it? I kicked frantically. I couldn't free myself. I gulped for air and I ducked my body under so I could use both hands to get my foot out of its trap. And then I recoiled. It was a cable that hooked my foot. But the cable was wrapped around something soft. Something fleshy. I felt it. And then I knew. I was too late.
I stuck around for a while while the harbor patrol dragged the body up on the beach. I made the identification. Somebody loaned me some dry clothes, and then I headed for Englewood as fast as I could get there.
Harry! Well, come in. What's the matter with you?
I don't know. Let me get my bearings for a second.
Where've you been?
Under the Long Beach Pier.
What do you mean?
Well, this may come as a shock to you, Gloria, but your sister is dead.
Doris?
Wrapped in about 30 feet of steel cable down under the funhouse pier, so the body won't float.
But I thought you were supposed to be watching her today. How could you let this happen?
I didn't. Doris died yesterday. The coroner said the body'd been in the water a good 24 hours.
But I don't understand.
Well, I think I'm just beginning to. Someone put her in the water yesterday, just before dark. Someone pushed her out the trap door under the pier. Now, who was in the water just a few yards away from the pier at that time yesterday? You were, Gloria.
Wait a minute.
You were down there making sure your sister was trussed up like a turkey. Only when you saw me on the shore and you made like a would-be suicide to throw me off the trail.
You think I killed my own twin sister?
Well, maybe you didn't, but you knew she was dead when you pulled your all-day masquerade today at the freak show.
Are you crazy? I was at work.
Oh,
call the druggist.
Oh, I called the druggist. How'd you get him to lie for you, Gloria? You promised him a little, romance?
I didn't promise anyone anything.
Oh, yes, you did, Gloria.
Bobby!
You promised me, remember, Gloria? You was going to be good to me if I would push Doris out of the trap door.
Well, well, Bobby the Ape Man, without his hair and his funny nose.
Don't listen to him, Harry. He's a moron.
It was you all day at the ticket booth at the freak show, wasn't it, Gloria? How long would you have kept wearing the fake scar mask pretending you were Doris?
That ain't no mask. It's a moulage. I know that because my Ape-Man knows it's a moulage.
See, Bobby's no moron, Gloria. I bet you can even tell me why you helped kill Doris. Can you do that, Bobby?
Sure I can.
Shut your mouth, Bobby.
Well, Bobby, are you a moron like the Ape-Man, or are you not?
Listen, Doris, she owned the show, but she wouldn't pay Gloria nothing, and she wouldn't hardly pay me nothing.
Ah, so with Doris dead, Gloria can wear the,
Moulage.
Yeah, sure. She can pretend to be your sister long enough to rake in a little dough and then sell out. Am I right?
You don't know how it was, Harry. From the day she could talk after I scolded her, she took it out on me. She made me pay and pay. There was never going to be any end to it. To the guilt. Don't you see? Don't you see how it was, Harry?
And she was always mean to me, too. So I helped Gloria. Hey, Gloria, the man gave me $5 today. Now when do I get the money you promised me?
They tell me they've got a new boy in the Ape-Man sideshow. And, of course, there's a different cashier. But I wouldn't know. I don't go down to the fun zone much these days. Somehow, it just isn't much fun anymore.
On tonight's Harry Nile program, Rosie Saya, Jay Green, and Eric McCaig co-starred with Bill Harper.
We hope you've enjoyed tonight's presentation of Imagination Theater. Brought to you by ValuRite, America's neighborhood pharmacy, with more than 5,000 independently owned pharmacies throughout the nation. This is executive producer Dave Adams, hoping you'll join us each week for another journey into your mind and the dark corners of your own imagination. Next week, learn the secret of a weird monastery where the law of time doesn't exist, in a story called But the Flesh is Weak. And then meet a shell-shocked war veteran who can't tell which world he's living in Bellamy Bridge. Be with us then when Imagination Theater will offer you another double feature movie for your mind. Imagination Theater is written and produced by Jim French and Jim French Productions in Seattle, Washington, and distributed by the Transmedia Radio Networks, San Francisco, California. For copies of tonight's Imagination Theater on compact disc or cassette, send a check or money order for $14.95 plus $2 shipping and handling, along with today's date and program title, to Transmedia, 719 Battery Street, San Francisco, California, 94111. Or call 1-800-BAY-RADIO. That's 1-800-229-7234. This is Dave Adams, again, thanking you for joining us for tonight's Imagination Theater. We'll see you next week.